What's up, people of this weird planet called Earth? Welcome to episode 54 of Reality Monday with yours truly, Damilare Maka. On this episode of Reality Monday, we are going to be talking about a very controversial topic, and the title is named Marriage, a Question Thread Part 1. So I am here with two amazing guests. Apparently, we're supposed to have an anonymous guest, but it's really good. I know we might get surprised before the episode ends. So I'm here with two amazing guests, two people that apparently they are the first that I have not added their their pictures on my design, but then they are going to be introducing themselves. So I think I'll start with Miss Tomi. Please tell us about you, just like we discussed before.
Oh, hi. So I'm Tomi, and I run a podcast, Tomi and Friends. It's a new podcast, and it says that I'm a student, but then I'm rounding up with my education, and I was born and raised in Lagos. I'm based in Lagos, yes, and I'm a foodie. Thank you. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you very much. So please listen to Tomi's podcast. Apparently, I hope one day I also become a guest on a podcast. I got to. So moving on to okay. Hopefully one day. Moving on to Miss Adiza, please tell us about yourself.
Hello, good evening, everyone. I am by name Azizat Abdulaziz. I finished from Kwara State Polytechnic, served in Calabar. At the moment, I'm running my top-up program in Kwasu. I own a brand, A2O Errand Express is a personal shopper brand. And I'm born and raised in Lagos, but moved to Ilorin. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we'll go straight into it, because yes, we don't spend more than 30 minutes on this episode. Open. So I'll be starting with the first question under this question thread, which is, in your own opinion, first of all, we have about 8 very, very controversial questions, things that actually break the internet. So we'll be hoping that this episode is not going to start because of this question. So number one, we have, in your own opinion, when is the ideal age for marriage? So I think I'll push this question to Mr. Aziza, please. Tell us, this is a very controversial thing. There was a time I posted it on Twitter, and then like so many answers. Some were like, oh, your 20s. Some were like, you don't have a perfect age until you're ready, blah, blah, blah. So please tell us, give us your own opinion, Mr. Aziza. When is the perfect?
Yeah, in my own opinion, the ideal age to marry, it's actually based on personal decision. And the personal decision should be based on an individual emotional readiness, personal goals, and the readiness of probably the two parties that want to get involved in this marriage thing. Because marriage is not as easy as we just call it. But to me, once I start having kids, I actually wish my kids to start getting married at least at the age of 25. At least with that, they might have finished their education and finished their master's program, and with that they've seen that they'll be a bit exposed to the world and a bit, I don't know. So to me, it's actually depend on individual readiness. So
yeah, so apparently you said two things that they are like things that in this age and time that we are, they kind of contradict themselves. So there's this thing where you are like, oh, readiness and all that sort. There's like this two mentality. Some people would say, oh, you don't have to wait for what's called everything to be set, as we would all call it, to actually get married. And then some people will be like, ah, guy, the kind of Nigeria that we are now, when they start reminding you of how much pampers it costs, you think twice before you say, oh, let me make that decision of getting married when I am not fully or like set yet. Do you understand? So let me ask Tomi, in your opinion, which one weighs more? Should you like focus on being set and like, okay, you have arrived, now you can get married, or you should be like, oh, you don't know what God can do or something like that, and then you probably have like an agreement with someone that you want to get married with, like, let's just get married, first time is going.
Okay, so if you ask this question, you'd only get subjective responses based on how people understand things. Now, readiness isn't just like the financial aspect alone. It's way more than that. But then we know that money is really important when you're thinking about settling down, because you're bringing another person into your life. And especially as a man, men are said to be the head of the family. So men have it in their head that they have to provide and protect their family.
Not just nowadays, it's almost like opinions that are just flying everywhere. But please continue with what you're saying.
Yeah, we know. Everyone is saying, oh yeah, we have to go equal, we have to be equals. And it doesn't work for everybody. There's some men, they will tell you, it is my responsibility to provide for you, to protect you. Some men will tell their wives or their women, I don't want you to work. You just stay at home while I go work. So that kind of person with that kind of mindset would want to be financially buoyant before settling down. Well, for some people, you know, they'll be like, yeah, I don't really have to have much before I settle down. So with the little I have, yeah, maybe when we work together, you know, combine efforts and all of that, we're going to be fine. So it's just, it depends on the person or the people in question.
Okay. So in short, it still, in your opinion, it still depends on like two parties. So I think we should just move on. We should move on from that. We should move on to number two, which is name three most important factors that makes marriage work. I know that when I asked, okay, when I sent this outline to Tomi, she was like, oh, it's only married people that can answer this question. And it's actually true. Okay, it's only when you're married. But then, like, this is just us giving our own personal opinion. So, Tomi, I'm still going to ask you first. Please, what are the, like, your own opinion on three main factors that makes marriage work?
Okay, so I'm going to be answering those questions based on what I've heard from married people, because I've never been married. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
but you're going to be married one day now.
Yeah, of course. So based on my personal relationships, you know, past relationships, okay, and my parents, and you know, married people. Well, for me, I think the three key things are, I think number one should be proper communication.
Okay.
Proper communication is really important.
Me too. You are the first woman that will not mention money first, but no problem. Please continue.
Money is important. We all
money is important. Me as a man, me, I know that money is important.
Yes. But then you guys might have money and then you still have problems.
Yeah, that's
you're
true.
You're not
that's
communicating
true.
Properly. So, you know, proper communication without insults or any form of verbal abuse or physical abuse, you know, you need to be able to talk to your partner and be able to pass your message across to them properly without demeaning them or making them feel less of who they are. That's very important. True. I feel like that's like the number one thing. And
it also has to do with like children, like when you give it to children, being able to communicate well. That's like something that most
really
of our parents.
I feel like it's for everybody, between parents and children, between friends, family.
You know, we are talking about the context of marriage now. So that's what I'm trying to say. That, like, for instance, you, I don't know about your own home. When me, I was like younger. I don't think my parents knew how to communicate very well. The only way they knew how to communicate was like through violence. But that's not the conversation. So please move on. Aside from communication, what are the other two things?
Okay. I think the second one should be mutual respect. With mutual respect comes a whole lot of other goodies. If you respect me, I respect you as well. And when I respect you, I would learn to understand you. And I'll learn to listen to you and do whatever thing you want me to do. It's not you imposing. You're not going to impose it on me. But out of respect, I'll be like, okay, he wants me to do this. Yeah, so let me just do it because I respect him. I respect his opinion. I respect his personality. I respect everything he stands for. So mutual respect is very, very important. And I think the third thing should be forgiveness, because we would always wrong one another, so we should learn to forgive and move on. Yeah, so I think for me, those are like the three major things.
The three most important factors. Thank you. That's nice. You said number one was communication, number two, respect, number three, forgiveness. I got
yes.
it. So I think I'll move on to Ms. Aziz that I'll ask the same question, because this one is like very important in my opinion. So please, and please feel free to like come into the conversation.
The first thing to me too is effective communication. I agree with Tomi, because even our day in our day-to-day life and activities, effective communication is so important. In a situation where the both partners don't communicate, you want something, I don't want something, then I think trouble start to come in the relationship, and from there they start to see different flaws that they feel they can deal with. So with effective communication, it's the very, very first one. And the second one to me is trust.
Trust,
yes. Because trust, I feel, should be the foundation of every relationship that leads to marriage. In a marriage where you don't trust each other, believe me, then it's just like you building a house and the foundation, the materials you use for the foundation are just not so original. Then you know the erecting a building on that foundation, it's not going to last. So yeah. We trust. It is also a vital thing in every marriage. Like every marriage should have that too, and honesty. Like, and the last one you said, three, to me is understanding. In a situation, okay, I'll just put it like these shared values and understanding. In a situation where you don't understand yourself, you know, it's a different thing where you guys communicate, and it's another different thing when you understand yourself. Like, okay, yeah. I agree with you. Oh yeah, okay, this is it, and this is what you want, and this is what I want. Like even without your partner saying some words, you already read the sign, the body language, and everything about your partner. Exactly. Like, so to me, those three things I feel
they top your list.
Yeah.
So let me record that again. Number one is effective communication. Number two is trust. Number three is understanding. Okay, that's really nice. For me, there's no need for me to say my own purpose, but then I think I agree with like everything you guys say, and yeah, I hope people that listen to this actually learn a lot from it. So number three on our outline is name three general concepts of marriage that you do not agree with. So this should be interesting. Please, Azizat, I will go with you first. Tell us three concepts that you feel like you don't agree with.
The three things, the first one I'll be going with is societal expectations. That actually needs to be worked on. Like, to me, in every marriage, we tend to live our lives based on what the society wants, what the society is actually expecting from the couple. Let me give you an instance. Okay, you guys get married, it's not even up to 6 months, and the world, people around you, the environment, already expecting you to be like, oh, she's pregnant, oh, she has a baby. Like, if it is possible for you,
I think I knew that's what you wanted to say.
For it, like, at times, I get mad with those things. Like,
the pressure, okay, the pressure is on a lot of women. It's true.
And one thing is, with this kind of societal expectation, like, with that instance I've just, what's it called? I've just said, they tend to focus more on the women. Thinking, if okay, you guys just got married and there's no baby, there's no pregnancy, the focus is always on the woman. Like, oh, she has problem, probably she has done something bad and all.
That's bad.
Like, the guys also might be the problem most times. Actually end up to be the guys. Now if couples are actually living their life based on societal expectations, okay, you guys really, okay, the two parties want a party, and they are always like, oh, what would the world say? Is like, what would the society say? Oh, they party too much and all of that. Couples need to learn to live their life off societal expectations. Another thing, not to waste our time, another thing I'm going to pinpoint is gender roles. Damn, it always annoying. Gender roles, in the sense that we all believe, like, okay, the way our forefathers and fathers lived their life, like, the man is supposed to go out there to source for money, just come back and take care of the family. And believe me, back then, our fathers don't really support our mothers when it comes to the house responsibilities and all of sort, like taking care of the children. They believe it is solely the mothers that to do those kind of responsibilities. No, that also I want you to be ruled out. Like,
that's a problem. Okay, last one.
Doing that role. And the last one is arranged marriage. Man, we just believe it does not really exist, but we still have some arms, we still have some environment that still believes solely in this kind of thing, like arranged marriage. To me, that kind of marriage, I don't really find it interesting. Like, I believe the two parties might just be living their life in that marriage based on what their parents, their family actually want, not based on what they want. It is only few of those kind of couples they end up building feelings, emotions for each other, and the marriage will be like, oh yeah, they're actually married because they really want to. So that kind of thing too. It's part of what I don't like in marriage concepts.
That's another concept. Okay, interesting. Thank you very much. That was quite insightful. Tell me, I still want you to talk about this concept. Please just tell us, like, briefly, three general concepts. I want to maybe have like other things that you don't agree with.
Okay. So for me, I think the first one should be the old understanding or talk about men being polygamous in nature and you know, seeing it as a normal thing for men to cheat and end up, you know, having more than one wife. And okay. I don't want this to be a religious thing, but I know there's a particular religion that supports men having multiple wives.
As long as
they can take care of their wives. Now, I have seen men who have 2-3 wives, and those women are suffering. Like, they are not taking care of them at all.
At all.
They're not taking care of the wives, they're not taking care of the kids. And they will tell you, oh yeah, I can get married to more than a wife, blah, blah, blah. And you're not taking care of them. It doesn't make sense. So for me, I feel like if you're not financially buoyant, please stick to one wife. It's as simple as that.
Okay, that's like the first concept.
I'm not a fan of that concept at all.
At all, okay.
And I think another one should be how the society looks down on women that walk out of their marriage. They see them as irresponsible. You know, they talk down on them, they look down on them, they say all sorts. And you don't know what that woman went through in that marriage. Maybe the man was beating her up, you don't know. Maybe she was abused, or, you know, she was maltreated, or she was very unhappy. Mm. No one knows. But the moment a woman leaves her husband and, you know, gets an apartment and starts staying alone, they call them all sorts of names. They make them look like they're failures, and
it's a very, very bad taboo. Especially your wife, I think it's like a very common thing.
They call them all sorts of names. Like, if you go back to your father's house, they will tag a name on you. It's better to walk out of an abusive marriage than to die there. Yearly, we know the amount of women that, you know, end up dying in the hands of, you know, an abusive partner, which is another topic entirely. So I'm not in support of that. It doesn't make sense. And I think I'm going to support Azizat in when she talked about, you know, couples getting married and people expecting them to, you know,
to magically produce babies,
you know, children, you know, get pregnant and have children immediately. Some people decide to chew for a year or 2 years before getting pregnant. So that doesn't mean something is wrong with them. The woman could be fine and the man could be fine, and then, you know, they just told themselves, you know what, let's just chew for 2 years, and after 2 years, you know, we'll start having kids. No one knows. So it's not your business.
Apparently,
so yes, like three concepts that me, I'm not a fan of at all.
Okay. I was about saying, apparently in Nigeria, we don't like minding our business.
Exactly.
But anyway, yeah, we don't like minding our business. So let's just move to the next one. I think this is going really, really fast, and we are on number 4 question, which is, tell us 2 controversial opinions about marriage that will make you trend. I wanted to, like, there's this thing on Twitter where they would be like, talk about controversial opinions about something that will make someone, like, people want to kill you. There's this particular, what's it called, meme that they always use, but apparently we cannot use a meme. Yeah, so I think number 3 is kind of a little bit related to number 4. So what I'll just do is, if anybody has, like, any controversial opinion about marriage that you want to, like, tell us about, people will be like, or something like that. Aziza, do you have any? Or should just pick number 3 as all your opinions?
I do.
Okay.
That will make me trend. The first thing to me is, I don't know, I've always had this thinking, okay, let me put it this way. I'm a divorcee and I'm a single mother. I always feel like I have this feeling marriage should have an expiration date. Like, it should have expiring dates.
And
where you can decide to either renew your marriage,
renew your contract,
your partner, or you just want to dissolve the marriage.
This is interesting.
Yeah, I think with that, I think that is going to lead me to that societal expectations.
Expectations.
You know, something like that too. Like, you know, when you get divorced, when you get separated from your partner, it is here in Nigeria, we see it as a taboo, as a bad thing. I remember when I left my baby father, my father said to me, I should not mind whatever people will say. I was the one there. I know what I faced. I know what I came up with. So whatever anybody is saying is none of my business. The only thing you need to do now is focus on your future and what you were not able to achieve while you went into the marriage. You should achieve it now that you're out. See, I think with that, when marriage have expiration date, like expiring date, we'll have little or no divorce issue. You know, marriage is a life contract, and believe me,
that's what you're about to say.
That celebrates 50 years anniversary, 17th years anniversary, there are times at which I get tired.
That's
our whole generation now. Hardly do we have couples celebrating 20 years in marriage, 25 years in married. But if you look at our forefathers, our mothers are so, and one of the things that we should have, factors that make marriage work, is patience. And I think that's what that word patience is missing in our own generation. I think God, this generation, we didn't wait enough to get that part, patience, while we're coming to the world, which our mothers had then. Because that patience actually made most of our mothers stay longer in marriage.
But that, you now know, that patience to some people is called like suffering. She gets suffering and smiling.
It's called suffering, which myself, that's little to the patience I can have in a marriage. Let me put it that way. So with that aspiring date, if it can be inculcated in marriage life, I would appreciate it.
That's one opinion. That's one just the opinion. So we'll not take too much of our time. Is there a second one, or we should just
marriage is just an outdated institution. Like, I think marriage should be scrapped.
Okay, that's the second one. That's nice.
Baby fathers and baby mamas, and we'll all be fine.
Okay, that's interesting. Thank you very much for those two controversial opinions. And good. Tommy, you have any one of them for us before we move on, or maybe two of them?
Well, for me, marriage shouldn't be scrapped. I mean, I love the idea of companionship and everything marriage has, you know, comes with. But I think talking about scrapping something, I think marital vows should be scrapped. I think they can be a complete waste of time, because if one party was still going to do the opposite of what they said, and everybody was doing, and, you know, I'm crying, like, oh, so romantic. Or maybe when people want to start doing their marital vows, it's just old Shango and Ogun and, you know, all of those ones, you know, to be sure that what you're saying, you're meaning what you're saying, and you're not just saying the same things. That's I think that's like my first thing. And I think the second thing should be, I feel the society expects too much from women, and it's not fair. You know, a woman is expected to birth a child, clean the house, perform her wifely duties, you know, and still stay in shape. You see men, they say, oh, my wife, she's lost, you know, a nice shape, and she's got stretch marks. It's just ridiculous. And even you're not looking the same way you looked 10 years ago.
I mean, you're not looking as sexy as you
belly, you're looking all out of shape. And women hardly complain. Women hardly tell their husbands, you're having a big belly, because they don't want to bruise your ego.
Okay.
You're looking funny, and your wife is not saying anything because she doesn't want you to like feel bad. And then you start complaining about a stretch mark. She's looking this. She's had it weight, whatever, whatever. It's not nice.
I agree with you. So okay, those are the two opinions. Thank you very much. That both of them were quite funny, but then you've spoken the truth honestly. Like the way most men treated, even in my own opinion, like most men that their marriages, like our forefathers, that their marriages lasted, the way some of them treated their wives, and then the fact that they took cheating outside as very, very normal, was also like a very terrible thing. Where a lot of women, like back then, were very, very patient human beings, but nowadays, nah, you cannot find that, and it should not be like that, obviously. So I think that's also an opinion I wanted to drop. So let's just move on to number five. We are gradually coming to the end of this episode. Number five is, what's your take? Okay, this is very, very big, but I would like for us to like summarize it. What's your take on sexual compatibility in marriage? There was a question after this one, but I decided that number five will just encompass it. So I'll start with Tommy also. Briefly, what's your take on sexual compatibility? And yes, okay, I think I should state this. There's this very common notion, which it's subjective, that you have to confirm your sexual compatibility with a partner before you get married to them. But then it's like there's also the opinion of sex before marriage and all that sort. So yes, I think that's like the basis or the foundation of this question. So Tommy, please let me hear your own opinion on this.
Okay. So in my own opinion, I feel like sexual compatibility is very important, because I think the only thing that differentiates roommates and couples is the fact that roommates do not have sex with each other, and couples have sex with each other. So that's what differentiates roommates and couples. So it's really important, because, I mean, I've heard couples complain about this. I think it has ruined some marriages, you know, for different reasons. And biblically, sex before marriage is not allowed. So I'm not here to talk against it or support it.
But what, like, this is supposed to be like just a realistic opinion. Okay, I think I should, this came to my mind, which was the fact that, oh, imagine everybody was testing their sexual compatibility before marriage. Then once you have like that, to test it by having sex with a particular person you want to get married to, and the person is not compatible with you, would you now say, oh? Or in your own opinion, I think that's like, it's a very weird thing also. How are you supposed to know? Is it like there's supposed to be a test? But just to go straight to the point, what do you think is like the best way to find out your sexual compatibility with someone before you get married? Should it be in a conversation? Should it be
You could probably know, like a you could know via, you know, having a conversation with the person, although that doesn't do all of the job. But just in case you guys end up fornicating and you end up having sex with one another before marriage, and you find out that, okay, you guys are not compatible, it depends on the problem. Now, sometimes we make this thing feel like it's a once in a lifetime thing. This is something that eventually, if we get married, we could learn. We could, you know, with time, understand each other's body and understand our, you know, wants and desires. And with time, it gets better. But then we always make it feel like, oh, we have to get it right just that one time.
Especially to people that have not actually had sex before. I think it should not be.
Yeah, it could suck at the first time, and then eventually it could be the best sex you've ever had in your entire life. So people have to take it easy and be patient. You're not going to die tomorrow or anything. So you could try over and over again, you know, till it gets better. But it depends on the problem.
Okay. What, it
depends on the problem.
The problem can be in different cities. What
exactly
about,
it could be the genital size, it could be anything, but it depends on the problem.
It could also be lack of knowledge, also. That could be a problem.
Yes. So, some people don't even know, they have no idea what they're supposed to do. They just do whatever. Yeah.
And that's why stuff. So, like, in your own opinion, do you think seeing a therapist is also like a what's it called? Like a way out, just a way out, or like a solution to try to figure something like this out, especially for couples that are like, oh, they want to have issues with their marriage because of sexual compatibility, or like any other solution, especially for couples that are already like couples.
Yeah, I cannot answer that question.
Okay, that's
a
very
have
deep
experience.
Question. Apparently, I think that's a very deep question. But the reason why I ask that is that I think some people are too quick to say, especially people that are married, are too quick to say, oh, this is not going to work, this can never work, blah blah blah, and then just end it like that. And this is one thing that has to do with communication before getting married. So that was the reason why I asked that question. But in my own opinion, I think some people feel like therapy also works very well for them, so if they want to try it. So yes, I would push this to Aziza. I think I don't know why, like, you guys are looking for me to bring you into the conversation, which obviously can also like try to enter into the conversation yourself. But as it at least, with all what we've said, I don't know, what do you have any contradictory opinions, anything that you want to also agree with?
Yeah, on a quick one, I feel what's it called, sexual compatibility starts from physical attraction. To me, Tommy is right. You can't test every just like you want to have a meal and you start testing this from that, you get tired of even your taste bud won't work anymore. So I feel, to me, such physical attraction, then there's this communication, like an emotional connection. I don't know if it works for people too. Me seeing someone, I feel if I want to get married now, communication about, like, it's fine if you guys are being dirty. At least it's to some extent, you know, the capability of the other partner. Like, okay, can you do this? Can you do that? How well can you do this? How well can you do this? And in a situation where the both parties get married and they start having issues, probably the genital not as you want it, there are remedies at which you can help your partners, probably take some traditional or local natural remedies to help. If it is about the ways at which your partner performs those stuff, we have things you can do. You can train your partner to what you want. It's just, see, about this too, it depends on communication, like how well you guys can communicate. And I think that might be something. I don't want to really go far into that. So I think physical attraction, emotional connection, and communication.
Those things are like very surface things that you can also use to judge too. Thank you very much. I think we have just 3 questions more, briefly, that we've passed our 30 minutes. I said it, we've passed our 30 minutes. Yeah, that was good. baseline. So let's just quickly rush through this. Number six is, who do you think should earn more, and is it normal if one person earns more than the other in both cases? So briefly, as is that, please talk to us about this.
See, on this aspect, let's not really go deep into it. You know, it depends in a marriage, it depends on the personal decision. It depends on the kind of circumstances the both partners find each other. Now, in a marriage, to me, I don't have a problem. But you know, the kind of center we have now, if we ladies actually earn more, we have most of us who actually have this pride and ego when we earn more than our partner. That is number one reason why our men do not really like us any more than they do. So why do you think we have these well-to-do women that they are not really settled? Because our men feel this ego and pride in us won't allow us to be submissive. But to me, it's all depend on communication, also on the partner. You know, the circumstances that could actually warrant each of the partner getting more ends is the educational background, the personal goals, the individual, like a lot can actually warrant it. So to me, anyone can earn more. It all depends on the kind of communication you have and how well you are able to manage your earnings.
Okay, that's very good. Yeah. So I'll add the next outline because it relates with it quickly. So do you think if a woman rejects a man that earns lesser than her, do you think it's like it exudes or like it shows pride, or is just like trying to be realistic? What's your opinion on that?
In my own opinion, rejecting a man is actually solely on individual values and priorities. You know, in choosing a partner, we all have our top list, like A list priorities. We have our preferences in what we actually want in a man. But me, I do tell a lady, you rejecting a man based on his income does not really matter. The first thing you need to know is, even from your discussion, you would know a man who is futurely oriented, like the future is bright. You have to look, the first thing you need to look for in your partner is the future. If the partner, the future is actually bright, is has goals, then I think you both partner, to me, I feel I love to be with a partner where we can actually work together to better each other's life. Because one, I'll be in a success story. Then two, I can actually brag about whatever he earns like later, like, no, I was there with you. Why most of we don't always want to do this part is because our men tend to misbehave when they actually start having money. So that's why we feel, okay, well, when he has money, I am good to go. I think considering other aspects in finding a partner is really, really important. Yeah, your compatibility, your character really, really matters when you want to choose a partner. So rejecting a man solely because of his income is not a good thing. Like, you shouldn't be based on materialistic items. So to me, I wouldn't say it is rude. I'll just say, you know, it depends on individual preferences on what they want in a partner. But to me, it's a no. I wouldn't advise any lady to go with that.
Very, very valid point. Very valid point. So, Tommy, quickly, the two questions concurrently before we take our last question. I think the first one was based on who should earn more and should it be a problem. And then the second one, rejecting a man for like earning lesser than a lady. So, briefly.
Okay. So first things first, I feel like both parties should be open to the possibility of the other person anymore. Anything could happen, opportunities could come, you know, show up for either of them. So and we women, we don't have an issue with our man earning more. I feel like every woman wants someone who's financially buoyant, someone who exudes confidence, you know, physical strength, who is assertive, you know, that's the kind of man we want. So, but then, and if it doesn't bruise the man's ego, or it doesn't, you know, hurts the man's ego that I hear more than he does, then I have a problem. As long as he's got prospects, he's got plans, he's hardworking, he's goal-driven, I don't have an issue with, you know, me earning more than a man. It just depends on, you know, the person in question.
Okay, it depends on the person in question. So, yes, I think the second question, if a woman rejects a man because of his earning lesser than her, what's your own opinion on it?
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know if Tommy is there. Tommy, oh. Can you hear us? Apparently, it looks like a network. Yeah, I think a network went off. So, let me just quickly go through the last outline. Last outline is what's your ideal definition of a realistic marriage? And I probably use the word realistic because some people they live a fairy tale. Yeah, the Cinderella kind of what's it called? Fairy tale where there's always a happily ever after. But realistically, I don't know if there can be like a brief way to just expect that. Oh, this is what you should expect in marriage. But before we go to that, Tommy, please can you hear us? I don't know if you're back. Apparently, it looks like she's still kind of here. So, yes, Ms. Azizat, please could you go through
the realistic? I think this actually still goes back to individual perspective and values. Realistic, yeah. And I want you to know, like, there's no marriage without its flaws, up and downs. There's no perfect marriage. Things we just see on social media, oh, they are so perfect. Deep inside, they have issues. They're actually nothing. And I would like to list some elements to actually to link up with this realistic. I am realistic marriage of a thing, which are some of the things which actually buttressed, which is communication and understanding. It's really, really, really important to have a realistic marriage. Then we have mutual respect and equality. Like all of these things we've actually spoke about them earlier. Emotional support and connection. It is really, really important. You guys have to be support, like connected. Then flexibility and adaptability. You know, there's no one that is not born to changes. Even this life, it keeps changing. So we have to be flexible and adaptable. Like anything can stop at any time. The love you think you've shared, you know, if you get to a point in marriage, love cannot sustain the marriage. The word love cannot actually sustain the marriage. Other factors like all of these, mutual respect, equality, emotional support and connection. That emotional support can actually work well when love ceases not to work again. Then intimacy and sexual compatibility, that one's safe. It is actually important. You know, in a marriage, I think some people, when they have issues, one of the things to settle the grudges is when they have a good lovemaking. You know, with dads, after the lovemaking, you see them that they are fine. Most times, not all times. And when the sexual compatibility is not there, tell me, how will it work for them? It can't. Then having realistic expectations and goals for each other, like, okay, yeah, we can achieve this, we can do that, we can do that. I think with that, we can have a realistic marriage. Yeah, then when we talk about realistic marriage, we should also understand, like I've said earlier, there's challenges, there's up and downs. It's part of it, because marriage is not just a one-year contract. It is a life contract. And when we say realistic has to be a very, like, the marriage you've been into for a very, very lengthy time, not this marriage of 2 years, 3 years, and it has crashed. It is not realistic. Do you understand? Now, you need to know that flaws will actually come up anytime and almost every time. Disagreement, when you maintain like effort, understanding, and commitment, will actually make the two partners grow well in the relationship, in the marriage. So, with those elements, I think we can have a realistic marriage. And let's add to their opinion. Happily ever married, happily ever married after, or whatever. So, to me, that is it.
That's just a very, 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 very heartwarming and very educative point. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Hopefully, I'll be able to listen to this episode again, especially when I want to get married, or even after I've gotten married. Thank you. So, I think we are rounding up. I don't think Tommy is with us. Tommy, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, thank you. Welcome. So, apparently, Azizat, like she killed the last part. It's like a concert where you just killed it and dropped the mic and you're like, boom.
Oh yeah, she did.
So, please, could you just round this up for us before we say goodbye? I think you wanted to say something in relation to a man, like
As you said, it depends on the individual on the person, basically. Yeah. And as Azizat has said, like, all of it. But to add to what she said, I think marriage where both parties are willing to relearn is a realistic marriage. Because we've been told and we've heard that marriage requires constant effort, and we've been told marriage is hard work. It's not easy, but I feel it helps when you're doing life with someone who's on the same page with you and who's your friend. So friendship is very important, and yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Okay, that's pretty much it. Friendship is important. I agree totally and absolutely with that. We all find our friends in marriage. Thank you very, very much to me. Thank you very, very much, Azizat, for being on this episode of Reality Monday. I really appreciate you guys. And to anybody that listened this far, I hope you listened well and gained a lot of things, learned a lot of things from it. Apparently, you wanted to do 30 minutes. Oh, God. I would look for that day that I will actually do 30 minutes on.
Yeah, that's if it is not a very interesting and engaging topic.
Engaging topic, yes. The engaging part, most likely. So thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it. And any last words before we say goodbye? Any last words to me? Any last words?
All I'm going to say to our listeners is that we are not married. We're just, you know, telling you all of this in our own little, like, our opinion and, you know, with the little knowledge we've got. So feel free to talk to married people.
Yeah, talk to my people. Yes,
your parents. If you've got parents, you can talk to your parents, you know. They will not mislead you ever.
That's true. So, me too, I was even saying it. I was telling her that I most likely need to listen to this. Because I loved a lot of like the finishing points that she gave. I'll listen to this again when I want to get married. and when I'm also married, so most likely me and my wife will even listen to this episode again. So thank you very much. Azizat, any last word?
Let's just be ourselves and actually list out what we want in partners. And I think to all of us out there, let's stop looking at the happily married people. Let's walk up to them, know their flaws, how the marriage is being managed. And with that, we can have less expectation. And I just pray and hope we all find our friends in our partner.
Find our friends in our partner. So thank you very, very much to our listeners. Please follow my guests on their social media handles, which most likely will be dropped on the comment section or the caption. Please also like, subscribe if you are listening to this on YouTube. Thank you very much for being part of this episode, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.